Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Apostle Christopher McQueen.
And I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King, Redemptive Ministries, and this is the Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We are coming to you via satellite, I guess you could say, amen. But this is the last broadcast of 2013.
Yes.
And thank God we made it. We're here. We made it through. God is good. God is awesome. And we thank Him and we praise Him. But listen, before we get too far, let me go ahead and turn it over to Prophetess Crystal so she can give us our announcement as well.
Amen.
Prophetess, go ahead.
Amen. God bless you all. And once again, welcome to Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. This evening's announcements are as follows. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join us here, Apostle Christopher McQueen, for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. On Thursday nights, every Thursday at 7 p.m., join me, Prophetess McQueen, for Prophetic Atmosphere. And you can hear all of our broadcasts live at www.ctkr.org. As you're looking through our website and learning more about us, amen, about our ministry, amen, we invite you that if you have any questions concerning this ministry, if you would like to invite Apostle McQueen or myself for any ministerial engagements, please go to the contact page on our website and you will get all the information that you need there. Amen. Amen. Also want to let you know that Christ the King Redemptive Ministries and Women of Prophetic Destiny has a Facebook page and like us there. Please leave a praise report. Let us know what God is doing in your life. Amen. Those are the announcements for this evening as follows. Now come on and let us go before the Lord. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, God, we thank you. We praise you. We glorify you. This is the day that you have made. Lord, we say thank you that you have brought us through another year. God, someone didn't make it in to complete the 2013, but you have laid your hand up on us. You breathed life into us, and you have allowed us once again to come before you and make it to another year, to give your name praise, to give your name glory, and to give your name honor. God, we say thank you. We say bless you. We say we honor you and we praise and glorify your holy name. Now, as we come before you, God, for this last time of 2013, God, we just ask that your presence would rest upon us once again. As the man of God delves into the Word of God, that you would open up the wisdom, open up his wisdom. open up his wisdom so that he can impart into us, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. God, you get the glory out of his life, get the glory out of our lives, your people, in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, Father, we have our ears open and attuned to hear what thus says the Lord. We receive what you have for us now and for the year that's coming. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
And amen. Now, what is the best thing in the world? Thank you for that dynamic prayer. One of the things that we have to be very focused on in the body of Christ is the simple fact that God's dynamic will fit people. And I need you to understand that those words there. Excuse me. Think about it. Dynamic with his people. We have people who have been trying to figure out the best way to get God to give them this stuff. And, you know, you have to understand that there are people who have gone through trials, tribulation. They have gone through situations in their life. And the Lord has blessed them and kept them. The Lord has delivered them. The Lord has made a way for them. Amen. And when he did it, it was something where people could sit back and say, you know, what the Lord has done is marvelous in our eyes. And we are ecstatic that he has done it with us, through us. Amen. So when we begin to look at those things, we know that God has blessed us. God is going to bless us, and God has a promise to fulfill in our lives. Now, let me go into a few things, because this is the last broadcast of 2013, and we have to bring closure to this year and also prepare for next year. So I want to share a few things with you. First of all, you have to understand that 2013 was a year to manifest. Amen. Prophetess had shared with us earlier at the end of 2012, the year of divine spiritual authority manifested. Then we get into 2013, which is the year that we are to go forward and produce. Amen. We're supposed to do something during this time. There's some things that need to be taken care of. And as we begin to look at it, we'll understand that in God's kingdom, he has already set us up that we are successful. But he has called us to a responsibility concerning what he's already done. Now, the Bible says something very clear. It says, on earth as it is in heaven, amen. Jesus in Matthew, amen, the sixth chapter, amen. He's telling them then there's some things that you need to do. And as you're learning how to pray, let me teach you this one thing. He began to share with them that there are some things that have to be done on earth that are already done in heaven. Amen. When we look at this, we can see clearly what is being said here. Let's just run over to that scripture, because I want to make sure that you have it in your hearing. Amen. Amen. Matthew, the sixth chapter, and we'll go down to about the ninth verse. Amen. It says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. In other words, there's some things that have already been determined, amen, predetermined, predestined by God before the foundation of the world. It's already worked out. Amen. You don't have to try to figure out how this is going to come to pass. God has already
figure it out and work the plan out. Your part in this plan is following the will of God, following the leading of the Holy Spirit, and allowing him to take you into the places where he has already predetermined that you should be. See, the thing is that there's some processing that has to be, we have to go through, amen. We have to process, amen, and go through the process. And the process is something that we look at that takes us from point A to point D, amen. But when you go from point A, you look a certain way. When you get to point B, you look a different way, amen. Your functionality has changed from the point that you came in to begin to the place where you actually get to. I hope you hear what I'm saying. So when you get from point A to point B, you're seeing some things manifest in your life, some things that you were not able to fulfill and do at the very beginning. You're able to now fulfill and complete assignments. You're able to now at point B. And so it is when we begin to look at 2013. There are some things that God has already done for us that we have a responsibility to produce in. Now let me show you that. The number 6, amen, 6 and 7 is 13. Amen, 6 deals with the number of man, and 7 deals with spiritual completion, amen. But when we look at that 7, that spiritual completion, amen, or spiritual perfection, we're looking at wholeness, wholeness. It is your completeness. It means without lack or deficiency, amen. The word perfect doesn't mean that you are without flaw. It means that you are without deficiency. And this is important because if you're trying to be perfect based on your ability, based on what you've done, based on your schooling, based on your matriculation, then you'll always fall short. Amen. Paul said it like this: I'll count all the knowledge and everything that I have as dung for the knowledge of Christ. In other words, it ain't worth a hill of beans. Amen. So you can go off and learn how to put together two scriptures, put it together your outline, learn how to rise and fall in your voices. But if you don't have that divine connection because of a divine purpose, you'll never have a grace upon your life to preach a gospel that would change a dying world. The assignment that he gives you then, amen, he gives you that assignment, but he has already done the work. So 7 deals with spiritual perfection or wholeness or completion, amen. But the 6th part deals with how God gave us that, amen. In the 6th day, amen, after he had created and done everything, there was only one thing that was not created, and he did it on the 7th day, amen. And it was a way to recharge after we have dealt with the 6th day. But on the 6th day, God created man and put him in charge of everything that he created. And then God the Father, amen, as God began to do that, on the 7th day, God rested, amen, and then he commanded us to honor the Sabbath or honor the rest. See, I wish I had time to get into this really deeply, but I don't, amen, because there's only so much time on the broadcast, amen. So when we begin to look at this, we begin to see then that there are some things that God has already done for us in his divine plan that he has now given us charge over to complete, and we should go forward and have dominion, and we should go forward and prosper. You see that? So there are some things that we should have already completed and prospered in based upon the plan that God has already set, his will, his divine purpose in our lives and in the world should have already been accomplished by the sons of God. You see that? The children of God should have already done it. So in 2013, there are some things that I said before that we have to understand that are already done that we have to do. What do you mean? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You see that? So the things that are already done in heaven, we have to manifest here in the earth. Stop making excuses for non-activity. because after all is said and done, you're dealing with disobedience. If God called you to it, then you have a responsibility to do it. Amen. Get to the assignment, complete the task so that you can get the blessing of obedience from God. Now, what does that mean going into 2014 then? Well, going into 2014, we have to understand that as we get into 2014, you're looking at now there are some things that are completed, seven divine completion, amen, divine perfection. But this is doubled, amen. So it's two times seven, amen, or you're looking at seven and seven, amen. However you need to look at it, it still comes out to 14, amen. And there are certain things that are done on the 14, concerning the 14. Now, I wish I had time to really deal with some of these things, but when you look at the the institution of some of the laws, amen, and some of the feasts, especially Passover, it was on the 10th day that the sacrificial lamb was chosen. It was on the 14th day that the lamb was slain, and the blood was taken from the lamb and applied to the doorposts and the lintels. And when the death angel saw it, he passed over it. So this was a physical saving, but it was also a spiritual saving. So 14 deals with salvation. It also deals with deliverance. I hope you hear what I'm saying. So there are some things that God is going to save you from. Amen. It is a saving, a preserving, if you will. But there's some things that God has to deliver you from. Now, it's important to understand that he has to do it. But this is your part. You have to allow him to do it. See, salvation was something that was offered. But you have to be a willing participant. And I said it before and I'll say it again. There will be nobody in heaven who was forced to be there. Nobody's going to be up there saying, I wasn't trying to be saved, but they prayed me up here. Now I'm sitting up here with all these holy rollers. No, no. Everybody who's going to heaven means to be in heaven. Everybody who's trying to be saved, no one forces you to be saved. You accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It is then that you begin to live the life. You begin to come up to the next level. You begin to understand that it is God's will for your life that you should live whole. Amen? And that you're living whole. You also are commanded to live holy. Amen. So you can't just be out here doing anything. I know on tonight, New Year's night, 2013, that there are going to be some people, New Year's Eve, who will bring in the New Year's going out the same way they came in. But when you look at the whole year was predicated upon how they honored God with their first fruit. So those who did not honor God came out the new year came out the old year into the new year, drinking, smoking, cussing, sleeping around, getting high, trying all kind of things, and they have gone through the year trying to figure out how they get their feet up under them. But then there's some brothers and sisters, there's some saints of the Most High God who have said, listen, we're going to be in the presence of the Lord, and we're going to go out of the old year into the new year. I'm going out of this year and shouting and giving God a praise and worshiping him and praying, however you're doing it in your household of faith. But when you come into the new year, you'll find yourself doing the same thing, because that minute, that second, that it goes from 11:59 to 12 o'clock determines your first fruit for your new year. Do you see that? Now, let's go back to 2013 right quick. There are some things that some of you have not done that you need to repent before tonight. Now, in repenting, you're saying, Lord, I recognize, I realize that I should have moved on. I should have moved on this. I should have done it. You told me to do it. I allow friends, I allow loved ones, I allow others to speak into my mind. I allow others to determine, you know, whether or not I should move according to the will of God. And I'm sorry, Lord, because I missed you for lack of doing what you called me to do. So now you have to ask God to forgive you. You have to begin to step up and step out and do what God said and stop making excuses. I have a saying that I always use, and I say this to those members of our church. I said, stop making excuses for bad behavior. Amen. And we have to stop making excuses for bad behavior. I want you to know that God is not winking at your excuse. He doesn't think it's cute the way that you came up with it. He don't think that it's cute the twist that you put on his man for you to do and for you to move and for you to go. He doesn't think that it was novel the way that you put it together. He doesn't think that it was you know, something special, the way that you figured out how to delay a little bit longer because you didn't feel like going forward. Listen, when God says move and you don't move, flat out, it's just disobedience. Amen? And some of you have learned how to be disobedient and not even feel bad about the fact that you disobey God. You've done it so often, you've done it so long that it's not even something that causes you to think about it or think that you need to do something different. You have become comfortable with disregarding God and disregarding God's word and disregarding God's commandments. Amen? You have done all of that, and now you need God to move for you in this year coming, because I'm going to tell you, there's going to be some shifting, there's going to be some shaking, there's some things that are going to turn. If you look at this year here, we've lost so many different ones, amen. If I just go down and look at some of the people who were giants, if you will, people who were larger than life, God is moving them out the way. Spiritual fathers, spiritual mothers, God is calling them home to receive their reward. And who's left? The children who are standing around looking at who's going to pick up the mantle. Well, listen, if God has spoken to you and it was your job, pick it up, get to moving, and stop trying to get somebody else to do it. See, there are mantles that are laying dormant and have been laying dormant because men and women of God have prayed and asked God for a vision of what to do. God has given it to them. They have taken it. They have moved forward. And after they have moved forward, now comes the time for you and I, those who remain, to take up the mantle. Huh? We need to cry out. We need to get ready to move forward and do those things that God has already commanded to be done in the earth. You're waiting on somebody else to do it, and God's waiting on you to just come on and do what he told you to do. See, you were designed for this. You were made for this. In 2013, he gave you opportunity to come up to this. Amen. And some of us have refused to move. Refuse to do, failure to launch, amen, failure to maintain, failure to restructure, amen, failure to get the old 11 out of the lump, amen. See, we failed to do all of those things, and we're still sitting back saying, Lord, I want a new car. Lord, I want a new this. I want that. Where's my stuff, Lord? Where's my stuff? And the Lord says, listen, where's my obedience? Where's my obedience? So you can't get nothing from God disobeying him. No more than your child can do all the wrong stuff. And some of you need to revamp your parenting style because you think that God is just like you. Child brings home all F's and D's, and you say, well, you know, they are cute. They can still do that little dance, like, and you still buy them those $100, $200 shoes. They got the brand new Xbox One that just came out. They got a PlayStation 4 or 2 for the other room. They look at the TV with 50-inch here, and they got all the games and everything. And you sitting there talking about, ooh, that's my baby. But your baby is not performing up to standard. Yet and still, you try to give them the blessing of obedience. And you think that because you're doing that, that makes you a good parent. No, that makes you a bad parent. And I want you to know that God is not a bad parent. Amen. Our Father will bless you when you're obedient to his will. Otherwise, what you find is that he gives you opportunity to get it right. But when long-suffering, which is one of his characteristics, amen, our Lord is, our God is long-suffering. When long-suffering comes to an end, amen, mercy has ran out for you. See, his mercies for us are renewed daily. But those mercies that are renewed daily are only for those who are repentant and have a contrite heart before God. So some of you have to really repent before God for failing to do what he said do. Now, what does that mean? After you repent, you turn around and you go the other way. That means that you can't repent before God and then fail to do what he called you to do. That means you can't repent and ask God to forgive me and then still not do what he said to. See, when I asked God to forgive me, then I stopped doing what I was doing because I was godly sorrowful. Some of you are just repenting and will repent because you don't want God to smack your hand. But you should have an awe, you see, that fear of God is an awe concerning him, a reverence for him, that you won't do anything, amen, that will cause him to be ashamed of you, his child, amen. And when you recognize, you see that, then you'll do the things in life that will cause you to go forward. So as you look at 2013 and you get ready to go out of 2013, understand that you are going into 2014 now. The beauty in 14 is that it didn't happen at the very beginning of 14. But it happened during 14. I wish I had time to really deal with this. Amen. You have to understand that at the age of 86, Abraham is told that he's going to have a child. Amen. And what he did was, as soon as he told Sarah, then they went ahead and tried to figure out how they was going to do what God had promised he was going to do. That's where your Hagar comes in and your Ishmael is born. Amen. At the age of 99, the Lord comes back to Abraham and tells him, listen, surely I will establish my covenant with you and with your seed. Amen. And when he says so, it is 13 years later. By this time next year, you shall have a son. And 9 months later, Sarah birthed. You see that? So it was the 13th year after the promise was made that we see a fulfillment of that promise. And it is in the 14th year that he's actually he's born. Amen. Now, what does that mean? That means that there's some promises that God has given that some of you have been waiting on to manifest. Now, the whole thing that happened with Ishmael, and I know that many people have different versions and visions on it, but I was sharing with a prophetess as we were on the road and the Lord was speaking to us. When Abraham created Ishmael with Hagar, it was during that time, and hear me good, it was during that time that Ishmael was alive, amen, that he was born and living before Isaac, that he learned, at 13 years, he learned, amen, how to be a father. He learned how to deal with some of the issues of having a child around. Sarah saw some of the things that were going on with Hagar and learned, you know, these are some things that I need to do and some things that we're not going to be doing that. Amen. So it was during that time that he was being prepared for the promise that was to come, Isaac. See, so that brings us into perspective with why the Lord told Hagar, why are you crying? Surely I will bless the child. Wow. He's going to bless the child because he has a purpose in being. And some of you have created Ishmaels, amen. But your Ishmael, you think, was something that was to be the promise fulfilled, and it was not. It was your training wheels for the promise that was coming.
Wow.
You see that? So the Ishmael that you created taught you and trained you. It gave you the patience. It gave you, it helped you to work through some of the technical difficulties of what God caused you to and the promise of God that he has already established for your life. So as you began to deal with Ishmael, it taught you how to have patience and not go off on the child. So when Isaac got here and he started crying, it didn't drive you crazy. It taught you that when with Ishmael, that when he was trying to get his way and do stuff, that you had to use wisdom in order to deal with them so that you could calm him down and keep the peace of the household. So when Isaac got there and he was doing the same thing, you had already gone through with Ishmael to know how to deal with Isaac. Y'all have to hear what I'm saying here. So Ishmael was something that the enemy tried to use in order to get you off track with your faith concerning the promise of God, but what the devil meant for evil, God meant for good. And it became the training and the instruction. It became the teacher that taught you how to properly handle the promise of God that he called you. So in your life now then, there's some things that you God has promised you, and you've been trying your best to get to it, and you've been trying your best to do it. You want everybody to see that you have arrived and that this is it. Amen. And God is trying to tell you, listen, I want you to fulfill my purpose in the earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Amen. On earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Isn't it interesting that as we begin to deal with the passage of Scripture, that Jesus deals with some of the other issues. As we go on down and begin to look at the 19th verse, you've heard me say this before. It says, lay not up for yourself treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. 21st verse, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So some of you have been running after your stuff, thinking that it's God's will for you to have things. But God never called you to things. God always called you to assignments and purpose. Amen. And when God called you to assignments and he called you to his purpose, he knew that you would need some things. How do you know that? Well, let's read down just a little bit, okay? Because when you go down to the 32nd verse, amen, it says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, amen? For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. In other words, everything that you've been running after so the people can see you in a certain light, the Lord knows what you have need of. It is that stuff that you tried to lay up, those treasures that you thought that you had to have. It is that car that you thought you need to have. And the Lord knew that if he gave you a car like that, you'd be riding around with a chip on your shoulder, and you would not give people a ride to church, nor would you tell them of his goodness. See, and half the time, thank you, prophetess. Half time, you know, you get the new car and you try to go on a road trip and you ain't got no time for Jesus, no how, anyhow. You know, you get the car and you think that it was the Lord who blessed you with it, but now you can't go to church because you try to get overtime to pay for the car. Let me just share this scripture with you. The Bible says that the blessing of the Lord make us rich and he adds no sorrow with it. God would never give you anything. Number one, there's two parts to this. God would never give you what you're not ready for. You see that? So when you are not mature enough for it, God will not release it into your hand. We need to go to Galatians, the 4th chapter, and understand that there are things that are held under guardianship until you are mature enough and the Father says release. Amen? And number two, there are some things you have to understand that God will never give you anything that is going to lead you away from him. So when you get something and it leads you away from him, this is not God. And I know people try all of the might to prove it. It's something I always wanted, I always desired to have. You know, it's interesting. We watch people who go back and forth, and one minute they're sitting there in front of this car, and this is what I always want. You got a Mercedes, and 2 weeks later, you back at the place, and now you got a you don't have a Mercedes anymore. You got a Lexus. Now you don't have a Lexus because you traded that in to get your Jaguar, and then you traded that in on a BMW. Now you traded that in on an Infiniti because, you know, I heard people, wait a minute, because God is a scatterbrain. What you're doing is you going through everything. And the Bible lets us know that the heart and the eyes of man are never full. You know, so as you are dealing with all these things, you're constantly going forth, amen, trying to fulfill something that only the assignment completed can do. So that means that you're constantly trying to find something that will satisfy what only Jesus satisfies. See, my brothers and sisters, you have end up having an itch, amen, but you have no way to scratch it, amen, because you don't know what's itching. You just know that there is an itch. And God is trying to get you to understand that he has the fulfillment or the satisfaction. He is the hyper-cortisone, amen, cream that stops the itch, amen. He is the one who takes care of those problems, amen. So now then, as we begin to go out of 2013 into 2014, we have to understand forgiveness is an order, or repentance is an order. But not just repentance, we have to have a determination that we're going to do what God says. Hmm? 32nd verse, for after all these things do the Gentiles see, but your heavenly knows that you have need of all these things. 33rd verse, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. It is as you begin to say yes to the Lord with a determination and follow after him that everything that you've been holding off, everything that you've been making excuse for will begin to resolve itself. And God wants you to have, amen. See, he don't get no glory out of you have nothing in your life. You don't get no glory out of you sitting there looking broke down, disgusted, tore up. You're not glorifying God, looking like you couldn't get two pennies together to rub, you know, if you needed some more. That is not God's will. What it is God wants you to demonstrate a discipline concerning what he called you to do. If you're a child of God, look like it. If you're a child of God, act like it. You see that? If you belong to him, act like you know who him is. See, this year coming up, we have to deal with the completion. So then when we see completion as it's related to this, then we have to understand that completion comes from the fact that the first Adam fell, who was complete and whole. He was perfect in the day that God made him. So the second Adam, Jesus Christ, had to come. Amen. And he was perfect in the day that he created. Amen. He's created. His perfection is secured by the fact that the seed did not come from man. God provided the seed himself. Amen. We see this in Luke, the first chapter. We see it in Matthew, amen. We see the scripture letting us know about the virgin birth being fulfilled. Amen. So God provided the seed for himself. And in providing the seed for himself, then we see that God took care of every issue that was would have been there with being born in sin, shaped in iniquity. And what he did was he came in as man under the curse, amen, through through the woman, amen. And the same one that fell, he used her to correct, amen. So Jesus did two things when he came. He dealt with the sin issue, number one, amen. So without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So Jesus came once and for all and shed his blood. Amen. It is his blood that takes care of the sin issue. We've heard people preach and get happy over the fact that they say that Jesus nailed poverty and everything else to the cross. No, my mistaken friend, he did not nail poverty to the cross. Amen. Or else we would see the apostles and others dealing with poverty or impoverished situations. Amen. You need to read that whole Bible and stop picking out the get me rich verses, amen. You know, there's a lot of people running after money and get me rich. But guess what? God didn't call everybody to be rich, amen. So you can turn around and give all your money away, and all you did was just give all your money away. But since you did not invest it in the kingdom, because the kingdom is not a man. Now, the kingdom is not a woman, amen. The kingdom is the work, the assignment, the ecclesia, if you will, amen. So take care of your tithes and your offering, support your local church, do those things so that the kingdom of God can go forward, amen. You honor the man and woman of God by obedience to them and other things, amen. It's interesting that in the law, amen, there was set something in place that made sure that the priests, amen, and those who worked in the temple didn't just take everything around with it. There was a part that belonged to God, and then there's the part that belonged to them, amen. And see, they won't teach this part because they want you to think that everything belonged to them. But the devil is a liar, amen. And God is getting some things completed and whole, perfected in us. Amen. So what happened is on the cross, Jesus Christ died for our sins. It was his blood that satisfied the sin requirement. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. The second thing, though, that he did with the blood or with the cross is he satisfied the ostracizing of us from the family of God. So now we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, huh? We are part of the royal family now. Amen? And when you understand that, then you aren't sitting around trying to measure up to something that Jesus has already done for you. Now, how does that relate to some of these other things? When you look at the reality, these people who preach these other gospels, amen, have hoodwinked and bamboozled, amen, hundreds, thousands, millions of people into thinking that giving them their money was really the thing that was going to save them and produce harvest in their life.
True.
And it's not true. Amen. What produces salvation is accepting Jesus Christ. What produces a harvest in your life is obedience to God. Mm-hmm. You see that? Obedience to God will cause you to do what you need to do. Now, in your obedience to God, you'll understand that there's a responsibility as the family of God and as members of the family of God to support the local church. So we don't have to cheat you out of offerings and tithes and money. You have to know that it's your responsibility to make sure that the church has the lights on. The pastor's not riding a bicycle or forbidden wheel because you won't buy him an automobile. We're not talking about something that you wouldn't drive. It's amazing how people think that in order to be in ministry, people got to be broke down and disgusted. That's why so many shysters stand up and say, you know, I need all the money. And don't challenge me on what I'm using the money for. because and they got more cars, houses, everything else than you can shake a stick at. People think, you know, well, I'm going to get blessed by giving. No, no, you didn't get your blessing that way. Amen. God is never confused about what he does. Amen. And he always makes sure that the things that are done properly. Amen. So you have to take care of the family of God. You have to take care of the household of faith. Amen. Huh? And that's something that's spoken of in the scriptures. Amen. God knows exactly what we need. God knows exactly how we need it. Amen. Now, and let me say this. Amen. As we get ready to come to a close in our next 15 minutes or so, Lord. There are some things that we have to see the way that God sees them. And what I mean is there are some things that God has spoken in your life, and you have gone forward and seen how difficult it would be if you were to have to deal with this situation or deal with these problems. Amen. But God didn't call you to deal with those problems by yourself. And that's why I like the fact that in the number 7, the word whole or perfection really deals with how it deals with how we respond to God and what he's done for us. God did it. We know he did it. And since he did it, then we can celebrate that the fact that the provisions and everything else that we need is already there. It's already there. We are able then to deal with the redemption of activities and of neglect and failure to launch as we ask him for forgiveness. He makes us whole. You see that? The other side of it is in the next year for 2014, we deal with the second part of that, we become part of a completed work. You see, we became part of the holy family, citizens of the kingdom. The difficulty that we face before to live a life that is part of the kingdom of God, according to his precepts for our life. All of those things cured. Now, so when you had difficulty getting stuff done, God said, I know you were having a hard time with that. And I know you created Ishmael, that you have allowed Ishmael to live because I did not kill him. You now understand what you need to do for the promise that is coming next year. You see. So now we can celebrate with Jesus, the coming of the new year. And as we get into this new year, I want you really to pray and ask God to help you not to miss your opportunities in this year coming. There's some things that I've seen in this past year. We've lost a son. I've lost a spiritual mentor to me. The reason why I do music and things is because my Aunt Gladys, who's going on to be with the Lord, my son Adrian, who died this year. There's several others that we could talk about There's several things that we have seen in the news. There's several things that we have observed that have happened, things that we thought were dead and gone. We found out that they're not dead, they're not gone, they're still alive and around. Racial things, political things. I mean, there's just societal things that are still there. Amen. But when we look at going into next year, we're looking at wholeness. And we'll say it and we'll say it again and we'll say it again. We're looking at the wholeness of God. Amen. We're looking at the wholeness of ourselves. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to bring us to a place where we are whole. Amen. Huh? Then where we can walk forward full of his glory. As we begin to look at leading out of this year, I want you all to understand that God's will and his purpose for our life, it's not that we observe so much the pleasing of man, but we observe the pleasing of God. It's just Jesus. We got to stop trying to live lives that people like. Let's start living the God-fearing, God-approved life. That means that some of the people that you know, some of the people that you've been hanging out with, some of the people that you've been dealing with, God said, listen, you know, that's not my will. That's not what I'm trying to do here. So I don't want you to even look at it and observe that. I want you to back away from that and do what I'm calling you to do. Be a light. Walk the walk. Huh? Share the faith. Share the gospel. Demonstrate the power of the kingdom of God. And this year coming, we're going to see miracles, signs, and wonders manifest. The reason why we're going to see miracles, signs, and wonders manifest is because there's going to be a greater need for miracles, signs, and wonders to manifest. I'm trying to tell you this because I want you to understand that everything that you thought that you needed to have, everything that you've been running after, God said that it wasn't me. That was your flesh trying to get something from God. But it wasn't my purpose and plan for your life. So the more that you ran after it, the more that I had to sit back and say, listen, this is not my will. This is not my purpose for your life. This is not my plan for your life. What I want you to do is I want you to seek me, love me, seek me out, focus on me, do what I'm calling you to do. Stop making excuses for non-activity, huh? Your inactivity, amen, for a non-productive life. He said, I'm calling you to productivity. And whereas you have failed to do so, ask me for forgiveness and I will forgive you. As they'll bring you back from the dark place and from the non-productive places, I'm going to begin to pour out my spirit greater into you so that wherever your deficiencies were, they will be no longer. Wherever your insecurities were, my faith and my grace is sufficient for you. Where the enemy has told you that you have missed it, I'm here to tell you that you haven't missed it. It was my purpose and plan to make sure that you didn't get the glory out of the situation. It was so that I could get the glory out of the situation. I shared with someone on Sunday, and God bless Evangelist Banks and Bishop Banks and Lady Shannon Banks, amen. Yeah, yeah. As we were over sharing with them, amen, in Sandusky, Ohio, the Lord spoke the word to me to tell them that some of the stuff that you're going through it because, not because it was my destruction of you, but because you needed to have the experience. Some of you will have the testimony. that you were in some of the darkest places, but God brought you out of it. People need you to have a testimony because they need to be able to be set free from the demons of their past. My wife and I were speaking as we were driving, and this one thing that we saw and we spoke and said, listen, it seems like the enemy likes to try to go and find you in your darkest place. And even years down the road, after you have taken care of situations, did restitutions and whatever it is, paid your debt to society and everybody else, people like to go back and try to figure out where you were and try to hold you today to yesterday as if you just was there. Huh? God said, listen, I'm beginning to come against some of these people, and I'm going to start exposing some of these people for where they are. We see that every time there was those who came against God's people, after they got done with their scheming, after they got done with their planning, after they got done with what they were trying to do, then what ended up happening was the king would hear and see and say, where are those who accused? Where are those who persecuted? Where are those who plotted? Bring them here. And what was meant for you through their plan and plot is what they received. In other words, God said, I'm turning some stuff around. Huh? I'm going to cause those who have come after you to fall by the wayside. Because of what I called you to and what I said to you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just one last scripture that we have to read. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In the book of Isaiah, yes, Isaiah 54, 15th verse, behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. In other words, God said, they're going to gather together, but not because of me. I'm not sending them. The Lord said, I'm not sending them. Amen. Whoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. You see that? Behold, I have created the smith that blows the coals in the fire and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. 17th verse, now, you can quote your scripture you love. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against thee thou shalt condemn. Amen. And this in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Amen. From the New English Translation, if anyone dares challenge you, it would not be my doing. Whoever tries to challenge you will be defeated. You see that? Look, I have created the craftsman who fans the coals into a fire and forges a weapon. I create the destroyer so that he might devastate. No weapon forged to be used against you will succeed. You will refute everyone who tries to accuse you. This is what the Lord will do for his servants. I will vindicate them. Brothers and sisters, this is your day, your time. Repent, get yourself together, forward, and do what God calls you to do. Amen? Come on, let's pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this word. We thank you for this opportunity to minister this word. Now, Lord, as these your people begin to go forward out of this year into the new year, I pray, Lord, that you would give them word. You would give them instruction. You would help them, Lord, to see what it is they need to do in order to bring you glory in this year. Now, Lord, I pray for those who are not saved that they would pray this prayer. Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation in Jesus' name. Lord, if they prayed that prayer, I pray that they find a church where they can be mature, where they can be developed, a Bible-believing church, a Bible-teaching church. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, please go to our website, www.ctkr.org. I pray that you become a vision partner with us. Help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. I am Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
A Christ-seeking Redemptive Ministries wishing you a happy new year. Amen. And reminding you that it's God's will for you to live the kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord, and know that we love you as Christ loves you.